Hello, and welcome back to Send Parenting Balance Podcast. My name is Katie, and we talk all things parenting children with ADHD, autism, and PDA. Today's topic is about dating with neurospicy children in tow. Let's do this. Let's unpack this. This feels like a real fun podcast to do with you guys. So, to all of you single parents out there that have neurospicy children, this is for you. And oh my goodness, if that is you, firstly, I salute you if you're a single parent. Me too. I parent my kids 24/7, no part-time dad, and it has had its moments to keep it polite. I get washed up in the interventions and the chaos of it all that I forget about my own needs. And when I do catch a glimpse of them, the thought of online dating does not fill me with confidence because I don't have much time to invest. I also hate, hate, hate the idea of having to explain PDA, pathological demand avoidance, or ARFID, avoidance and restrictive eating intake disorder, to someone who knows nothing about neurospiciness. However, we should not be making decisions based on fear. And so, very occasionally, my mind daydreams off into a place of, but what if? Let's start with the disclosure. I wish I have had a 15-year happy marriage behind me to share with you all the tips for success. However, I wouldn't then have this podcast about dating. So I will share my thoughts instead, because dating with neurospicy children can feel overwhelming and also impossible. This podcast will cover the struggles that I have personally encountered, struggles that others have told me about when attempting to blend their neurospicy children, and will also give you hopefully the motivation and courage to see your own self-worth separate from your caring responsibility, although still alongside it, and how you may like to start considering moving forwards in the dating world and where you will lay those boundaries. We're also going to practice an activity later to take off our own mask and let in the love, something that carers and parents of neurospicy children can really struggle with sometimes. So let's dig right in. Let's have some fun with this. Firstly, dating is hard initially. For me, I get very little child-free time. And so, if I'm going to be honest, if I'm going to spend it dating, that's probably likely only going to be about once a month or once every 6 weeks, not often, which means whatever I choose to do, it's going to be a very slow start. However, I do have to remember that I can FaceTime, I can call, I can meet someone during the school day for a coffee and a lunch break, and I can send funny TikToks and texts. And that there is a whole load of can rather than focusing on the can't. That's no small thing. That is definitely enough input in order to begin a connection with someone else. So the fact that I only actually get once a month away from the household shouldn't impact my ability to initially get a connection going with somebody. I also have incredibly high expectations because if I'm paying for a sitter, if I've gone through an hour's intervention to get all the children settled enough to get out of the door, and I have put aside the fact that I've only actually had 2 hours sleep last night myself, and I've worked through my own anxiety, then being out of the house needs to be for at least a very good time. I'm going to have to enjoy myself in order to be motivated to ever want to do that again. You see, they say you've got to kiss 10 frogs to find your prince, right? With the support needs at my home and my child-free time being virtually non-existent, then it's likely going to take me about a year to kiss 10 frogs before finding my prince, but that's okay. We could try and enjoy the process instead of hating the process. Think of it, flip it, meeting new people, getting out of the house, being able to get dressed up yourself, getting out of your own head with the send needs, and of course, giving other people some gossip about how your date's gone, other than the send needs and the talk with others. There's some positives in here too, even amongst all of those frogs. A lot of people ask me, when should we declare send needs, the needs within my home? And I always say to people, as soon as talk of the children come up, hopefully that would be by the third day. In my mind, and everybody would be different, I have a third date rule with that one. Because if he's a frog, you want to know about it sooner than later. And if somebody's going to listen to the needs, the level of need in my house, I can assure you, if they're a frog, my story will definitely want to make them hop. I did actually meet a guy once, this may make you laugh or be incredibly shocked, I'm not sure which one, that said once he found out that I should have declared I had children with autism on my actual dating profile online. Now, I think that's a bit extreme and very unnecessary. On the one hand, I understand his point of declaring it, making sure it's out there. But if children aren't the topic of conversation on the first date, then it's unlikely that we're going to blurt that out randomly. In hindsight, his disarray that I hadn't put it on my online dating profile says more about him than it does about me. And he was definitely a frog. I've also been on a few dates with the same person, in which over time it did fizzle after I started sharing the difficulties with the children's needs. And looking back, I'll never know if that was the reason, the children's needs, but actually, perhaps it doesn't even matter because if somebody can't accept them, then they're not the right fit for me anyway, and that's okay. I had been dating a guy for a while, quite a long while. Most people would have gone into relationship territory, but I remained calling it dating more or less the whole way through because, to be honest, we hadn't really progressed beyond that. Mainly, to be fair, due to the send situation that I had at home, and I'll share with you some of the frustrations and things that had cropped up that perhaps I hadn't considered before embarking into a long-term dating or relationship situation. So, firstly, the send needs means there's lots of meltdowns, there can be violence, there's lots of refusing to go out days, lots of demands to respond to, and they're very different days out that we have to those of perhaps a neurotypical child. We're not going to go to a theme park and queue for an hour for a ride. That's never going to happen in my world. We're never going to go to a festival or a music concert. You're likely going to find us in a farm with animals or in a big open space where there's not very many people. Two very, very different lives. Now, this means that when I started dating someone, that I had somebody else's opinions on behaviors, my world, feelings, the overwhelm, the emotions to take into consideration on top of my child's. So the person that I was inviting in really needed to be emotionally resilient and mature enough to separate the children's behavior from the whole day. One 10-minute violent meltdown does not mean the whole day was not worth living and that it's all just too overwhelming. And that it's all just too hard. If that's the case, then he's a frog. Because as we all know, a 10-minute meltdown shouldn't ruin the rest of a really good time that day. In these times, you want somebody who's able to discuss that, yes, it was perhaps hard, and then brainstorm what we're going to do next time. And check in with you. How are you feeling? Maybe they'll even try and save the day to pick the mood back up. Let's get a takeaway and watch a movie. Let's see if we can save the day. You need your person to help uplift you within the moments of those perhaps violent meltdowns, within the moments of those stress, but also vice versa, you to them too. Otherwise, it all feels too hard. The focus then becomes on everything you can't do rather than everything you can do. And before you know it, you're sat with somebody who makes your life more miserable because you go to bed at night with their emotions on your shoulders. You need a team player, not another child in moments like these. You want somebody who you can lean into in times of distress, not somebody that's going to walk in the opposite direction. You want somebody who's going to open up doors for you and your family. You want somebody to be able to accompany you on those days out that usually aren't possible, but now with the ratio of two adults, so you're not on your own, things do become possible. This person needs to be able to open doors for you, not close them in your face, not give you more anxiety about leaving the house or giving you lots of options that you cannot access. These expectations have to match, which can get really tricky when blending. And that's because when you get to this stage of blending, most people, or a lot of people that we can meet, have children of their own. And therefore, blending is far from easy. It's not easy for neurotypical families, let alone mixing neuro spiciness into the mix. But what it can lead to, if it's not blended really well, is a very separated life. And I'm not talking about the odd birthday or the odd day out that's separated. I'm talking about weekly separated life. So, for example, I may go to the woods as a day out for my child every week, and they may go to swimming or theme parks or zoos or friends' houses with busy barbecues or pubs. So it's unlike I can't access their world and they can't access my world. And that can be very difficult to try and blend together. And it can lead to very separate lives. Now, this can mean that while I'm in the woods managing Euro spicy needs, they're off doing something completely different. And again, it can lead to feelings of loneliness and separateness. I do believe that separate days out are necessary because neither family should have to compromise 100% to move into the other one's box. But a happy mix in the middle needs to try and be achieved. You don't want to be the only ones missing out, looking in on someone else's world. Otherwise, you'd likely be better alone rather than just witnessing a life that you can never really access. Not okay. Thirdly, education is really important that you consider your potential relationship's feelings and update them on your feelings along the way to any changes in your child's care needs. If, like me, the changes in care needs are erratic and they feel like they come from absolutely nowhere, then we too need to have the empathy of sharing that with the other person so that the other person can feel like that they too are part of a team and not stuck on the outside looking in. I once sent an email to my date of a very long time, many years ago, about Emily's care needs and the increasing stress that that would likely come with over the next few years. And it was really important that I had brought that to his attention and opened up that door of communication, showing empathy and understanding that he too has needs and he too has children, and that actually in this process, I am considering all those things, and therefore I need to talk about them. And it's really important that your prospective partner can open up that communication with you, answer your communication with you. Otherwise, it shows a true lack of emotional intelligence and lack of commitment. If you're trusting someone with vulnerable information about your children, the bare minimum is that you get a response from them to brainstorm what that looks like going forward for everybody involved so that you're working together as a team. Another consideration that I found interesting was that of friend groups. Now, being a send parent and carer myself, I don't have an awful lot of friend groups. My friend group is very small because friends take time and nurture, and I don't have very much time and nurture because all of my time and nurture goes through or onto my children. Whereas a date that I likely invite in that may only have his children 50% of the week will likely have a very busy friend group, probably busier than when he was in a relationship, with regular goings out, regular meeting friends, drinks, dinner, etc. And chances are that they will likely want to introduce you. Now, of course, myself, won't be able to go because of being able to unable to get a sitter for the neurospicy children. And this means that they will likely go on their own with their friends, which again can prompt a very separate life, while I would then be at home caring for the children. Now, what's really important is that you do have a separate life to some extent, because it's important to have our own friends and have our own nights out, but it isn't ideal to have a completely separate life for a long period of time. And in my opinion, no healthy man would choose that, in my opinion, anyway. Not a man that loves you. They wouldn't want to see you witness them living their life, knowing what you were going through at home. So, again, in my opinion, A mixture is ideal. Perhaps barbecues at your house or at his house with all the children that are invited too. Perhaps if big events are our problems, a smaller affair with just a couple could come round. That would be great for a takeaway night. Perhaps rather than meeting in the pub garden where it's all a bit loud and overwhelming, people can meet for a picnic at the local park or the local woodlands. If he's bothered, he will adapt to suit. He will not want or not shouldn't want to continue his life without you. You shouldn't be sat in the back seat of the car without ever being able to get out. The problem with a life like that when it's very separated is that it's lonelier than being alone. It's worse because you do have someone there, but actually you don't. Being lonely in a room full of people is so much worse than being lonely with no people in the room. You're watching someone else's life from the sidelines, but can never quite get in, not due to not wanting to, but just d due to the discrimination of it all, that it isn't made easily accessible. And in those kinds of cases, it's really important to understand that sometimes we're very empathetic ourselves, and we know that actually it's because of my send needs that I can't access these things. But if somebody had an accident and somebody was in a wheelchair, you would expect the other person to make things accessible to you. You wouldn't expect them just to leave you at home. And that's the level of expectations that we should have in potential partners moving forward. If people are in, they're in. They can't be in sometimes and out other times. You don't want to feel that level of discrimination within your own household. That's not positive. So ensure that we don't have over the tops amount of empathy. And focusing solely on the fact that it's your problem, that they're your children, that it's okay. Compromise is important from the very offset. We also have to remember and have a little bit of empathy for the fact that if we've told our potential date that we have neurospicy children, and you've explained all of that in what it entails, and perhaps sometimes he's even got to witness some of these behaviours because he's met the children. Then he's choosing to be there if he's choosing to be with you. You don't have a gun to his head telling him he's not leaving, and therefore he's choosing you and your family and everything that comes with it. And that comes with responsibility too. It may mean that for the next couple of years, you may need him to step more into your box and have lots more communication and compromise than perhaps other couples would in order to make it work. But isn't relationships phases? In a few years, you may have to lean more into his world. And a few years after that, he may need to lean more into your world. Perhaps in a few years, he will lose his job and need to lean on you. And perhaps you may lose yours and may need to lean on him. Perhaps one of you gets unwell and leans on the other person. Isn't relationship phases? Isn't relationships give and take? It's never 50-50. Sometimes it's 80-20. At other times, it might be 60-40. Or even in times when someone gets sick, it might be 100-0. But that's okay. It's partnership and it's based on trust and respect. For me, right now, I likely need someone to fall more my way, communicating more, compromising more. But for the right person, I know that likely in 2 years' time, I will be able to turn those tables and life will become a little easier. Emily will be 16, Harry will be 10. I will be able to easier step into somebody else's box. So, for the right person, it will be right. It's important to think about contact time, something I didn't really consider. Once you realise your date may be the one, what does that look like for you? And of course, everybody will be different. Some people might just want to hook up with somebody once a week, some people twice a week, some might want to blend weekends. It's going to be completely different for every single person. But if your children are neurospicy, they're likely going to need routine, and you too will likely prefer a routine so that they don't become so unsettled. But also, if you want your children to connect with your partner, it's likely going to be easier if you see more of them during the week. You can't expect a date to come round once you're then moving into a relationship once a week, say, and then the children be able to accept any demands from them. Maybe be able to remove their mask, And on the flip side, your partner won't then have any real opportunity to see what it's like living amongst autism, ADHD, or a PDA household. Will your partner be able to handle a meltdown? Would he know how to react to something that triggered the children? What is enough time for him to get comfortable enough to be able to handle a meltdown, but also the children be comfortable enough to take off their masks and accept demands from them? We have to remember that knowledge is everything. Learning is everything. As you know, as a parent or carer to a neurospicy child, you've had to fill your brains with knowing all about autism, ADHD, and/or PDA. And we have to remember new people that come into our family lives likely have a mainstream opinion of special needs, particularly if they haven't lived with it. And so we have to have empathy and understanding for the fact that what we might look at as PDA behaviour, they may look at as naughty behaviour. And so it's really important that we are prepared to be able to kindly educate somebody else, and that actually they are prepared to kindly understand about the needs in the house so that you can both be on the same page. We already get enough discrimination out in the real world. We don't need to bring that discrimination into the house. We need people in the house, potentially our partners, to really be on the same page with us with understanding autism, ADHD, and PDA. What we don't want is people pointing out that actually that's naughty when we know that it's not, it's triggered. And that negative framework of how society views autism as naughty, as aggressive, as disrespectful, as loud, as a problem needs to really change. Massively change, and there's been a lot of it on the news lately. But while it is like it is out there in that real world, shall we say, if somebody has never had experience of autism, ADHD, and/or PDA, they are likely going to walk into the household and have lots of questions. But I would want them to have lots of questions. If they didn't have lots of questions, I'd be slightly concerned. Because also, what's important is alongside those meltdowns and those demands is a little person that requires the love, the respect, and the understanding that anyone should deserve. And without the time or the education, somebody is not going to be able to give that to your child. And that's a really important thing just to bear in mind when we're looking at, okay, where is this going? I once had a guy say to me, I can accept the send needs for my life, talking about his own life, but I can't make that decision based on my children, which is what he was saying. So he couldn't ex he could accept the send needs for his life, but not for his children. And so he kept the two very separated. And over a long period of time, it was just too much. It was so separated. In the moment, I felt like I had lots of empathy, like, okay, I kind of understand that. But then looking back now, I've changed my mind because when I accept a man, I accept him for me and my children. As soon as I invite that man into my home, I am already accepting him for my children. I am making that decision for my children because I couldn't date a man that my children couldn't accept, right? It would never work. So you do make that decision for the kids. That's part of picking a partner. Absolutely no different to choosing what person to have the child with in the first place. Looking back, I should have said, nope, it's a shared life or no life. Now, for some of this, it all sounds really overwhelming. So some people may choose to stay in the dating zone, don't do the child blending, or maybe don't even date. It can be an awful lot to upset the routines at home, which is why if you do move forward with someone else, you want to make sure that it's with someone special and that you know where your boundaries should be. I've upset my routines a few times for somebody special, and realistically, he had a great time, probably felt the progress, yet I was dealing with violence, meltdowns, and interventions afterwards due to that routine change. So we have to make sure that any routine change we put in when we're meeting a partner is worth it, that it fills your cup, that your children are okay. You know, can your date support you and come round to help you with the difficulties when routine change happens? If not, then is it worth it happening in the first place? So perhaps you could use all of my experience for the greater good and consider all of these different boundaries, where your boundaries would sit in each of these scenarios moving forward. Let's have a little summary. We seem to have covered quite a lot. Don't only upset your routines if someone can support you afterwards. If they don't support you and they're only taking the routine change bit, and they don't support you before and they don't support you after, they're a frog. Don't be lonely within a relationship and watch opportunities, days out, and social events pass you by from the sideline. Your perfect partner will accept you for exactly who you are, and he will adapt his day outs, his social events, and some of the times to make sure they include you. And that will be incredibly important to him. You won't feel like a burden while he's doing that. How much of your potential partner will you have to connect with the children? Will it be enough time to come in and be helpful to offload your responsibility? Do you even want that? Would he later down the line be able to watch the children while you have a bath? Can he order a takeaway and make the dinner? Can he approach a meltdown confidently? Can he connect with the children? Don't take another child that needs to be told what to do at each stage. Of course, initially, any potential partner will need to know the routines, the intervention, what autism looks like in your house. But then, if he becomes part of your life, then that will all come more naturally and he won't need to constantly be told what to do. He will be more of a help, not a hinder. Communication and more of it than usual couples will likely be necessary, remembering that it's not 50-50 in a relationship. It most likely will be 60-40 for a little while, but it'll balance up in the end. Remember, your partner has chosen to be here. Stop over apologizing, stop over explaining, stop accepting bare minimum because, after all, they're your children, not his. If he has chosen to be in your family, he's chosen the responsibility that comes with it. Education is key. Google is with us in our pocket. There's no excuse. I guarantee if your date said that he had Morton's neuroma, then you would Google that when you got home to see what it is. It's no different. Can I just ask, who's now Googling Morton's neuroma? Try not to fall into that trap of loneliness, watching him live his mainstream life. That's no good for anything other than depression. Tell your date confidently within the 3 dates that your child has additional needs and what that means. If he's a frog, that discussion will certainly make him hop. Get him hopping if he's the frog. Please remember all you have to offer. You're not just a send mom or carer, you are a send parent and carer. That means that you have the patience, the flexibility, the empathy, the understanding, the motivation, the dedication, the kindness, and the determination of no other person I know. And I know that that potential date will not find a more empathetic individual. You may only get to go out for a date once a month, but you may be able to offer meeting up in lunch breaks. You may be able to offer FaceTime dates, watching Netflix series together, even though you might be in separate houses. You may make pizza together on FaceTime and eat together. You can be sent flowers and wine. You can make phone calls. You can send funny TikToks. You can work towards meeting the children and sharing afternoons together or evenings when the children are in bed, if your children sleep. You can build a life. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't. Will it be harder? Absolutely. Will it require more creativity and communication with somebody emotionally resilient and intelligent? Absolutely. But will it make the two of you stronger than any other couple? Oh my goodness, yes. This is the relationship that starts hard but gets easier. And at the end of it, you two will be not only rock solid and pulled each other through the worst times and the most frustrating times, it will also get so much easier. You will have a love so strong. One of the most difficult things that I hear a lot of people talk about is when we do show our vulnerable side to our dates that turn into partners, when we do show our children, we do share our meetings, we do share the EHCP tribunal paperwork and our stress, that they may well start to comfortably comment on their opinion and it won't be experienced opinion. It will likely fit the mainstream narrative of that's naughty behaviour. Your child's being naughty. Your child can say please. Your child needs more discipline. Your child can tidy their bedroom. Your child shouldn't do that. The best way to combat them is to offer and educate them on PDA, autism, and ADHD. And sometimes the best way we can do this is to send them short TikToks, YouTube videos, blogs, send my own podcast if you like. and share with them that you have empathy and understanding that all of this is new and daunting and very mainstream in perspective, but actually that you need them to get on the same page as you. And you're happy to offer to help with this and support, but they will need to meet you on your page. Otherwise, it's unlikely blending will ever work moving forward. Please don't settle for half-hearted because you've already invested lots of energy, or the children now know this date. In this case, you need to put yourself first. Do not settle. There is someone out there that will put you first and prioritize you around the needs of the neurospiciness in ways that you need. The partner you choose is the most single biggest decision of your life, and it will determine your quality of life moving forward for not only you, but for your children as well. Please don't settle for half-hearted, lonely, challenging, or someone who doesn't see that because of the increased needs in your house, that you too may need your cup filling up from time to time. Yes, you're busy. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you're stressed. But just imagine if someone were to make you laugh once a week, or if someone were to send you a funny TikTok once a week, or if someone were to make you smile by sending a thoughtful card in the post. Or if someone were to sit with you while you read out the tribunal paperwork for that EHCP. For someone to ask to call or FaceTime at 10 p.m. every night with a glass of wine in hand so you could offload before bed in the hope that you would sleep better. For somebody to plan once a month dates with you to fill your cup, or to meet you at lunchtime for a Costa and a cuddle. Just imagine how less stressed, tired, and exhausting within life that you would feel having your cup filling. And that's not even far too much. That's not getting married. That's not living with someone. That's not blending children or compromising on social events or days out. That's just dating and being in someone's world. It is possible. Don't settle. There's something I feel is really relevant with parents and carers of SEND children. When we are single parents and carers of neurospicy children, we constantly do everything for everyone all the time. We are in our most masculine energy all of the time. You become the mum and the dad. You become everything all at once to everyone. You are busier than anyone I will ever know. And literally, if like me, you likely just fall into bed fully clothed and wake up being thrown straight into the chaos of mum, 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 demand, demand, demand. We can deal with violence and aggression, which then causes us to mask. So while we're looking patient on the outside for our child dealing with a violent meltdown, on the inside, we're exploding with frustration. So we are masking ourselves constantly and saying we'll deal with it later. We struggle fitting into mainstream society, therefore, we get out less. We likely then suffer associated anxiety because we have fewer friends and we go out less. We also likely dislike the system that is set up to fail us and it's not fit for purpose. So maybe we have little faith left in people and places. Is any of this resonating with you? If so, you need to just stop, take a breath, and let in the possibility of love, if indeed you intend to date. Let in the possibility that kindness exists and that it's okay to let go of complete control, to come out of that masculine energy and change the routine occasionally to suit your needs also. You don't have to be strong all the time. You can allow yourself to feel emotions other than just determination and grit to get through the day ahead. Something I am so familiar with. Let's do a quick activity together. I want you to take a deep breath and just listen to me for a moment. Just listen to some phrases. I love you. You are amazing. I cannot wait for you to meet my friends. I know today was tough. It's okay. We can still save the day. I've got you. Your smile is infectious. You are so funny. That's okay. I'll come sit with you. How did it feel to hear those things? For me, I rarely hear them, but I have occasionally from a mixture of people, and it feels weird. I'm not used to compliments, and I'm so busy providing for everybody else and meeting everybody else's needs that I'm never really quiet enough in my own mind to really accept compliments or love. I've been working on this for ages, and I have cracked it. But first of all, I had to make sure that I quieted my mind and let in these phrases and let myself feel them. Perhaps you too found this hard. Perhaps you maybe even found them upsetting like I used to. If that's the case, keep telling yourself these things until someone else takes over. Don't become so masked that you forget about you. Try not to become emotionally numb, which can be so common. When you start dating, the idea is to let someone in, and they can only get in if you quieten your mind for long enough to hear what it is they're saying. I love you. You are amazing. I can't wait for you to meet my friends. I know today was tough. It's okay, we can still save the day. Your smile is infectious. You are so funny. That's okay, I'll come sit with you. I absolutely loved doing this podcast with you. Thank you so much for joining me. As I have said before, I am certainly no expert on dating. I have had so many fails, it's unreal, and I'm still counting. But by sharing some of these fails, you can see them coming in your life and run for the exit door if need be. Either that, or you can just allow that frog to hop away. Sometimes setting boundaries is very difficult for neurospicy families because we are so full of empathy ourselves. It is still just as important to make sure we know where our boundaries are and what our priorities are, even amongst the mist that neurospicy can bring. As always, I love to hear from you. Please do reach out and find me at www.sendparentingbalance.com. And please remember your worth. There is a lot, and I mean a lot of positives in that busy timetable of yours. There is a lot of can-dos in amongst all of those can't-dos. And the right person will help lift you up and fill you with confidence enough to reach parts of the world that you couldn't reach before. If you want to reach out just to chat to someone due to loneliness or isolation, there is a service on my page named I'm Not Okay. It's a session where we can connect, we can chat, we can talk about your needs, we can have a giggle, we can share tears. It's your time to just connect with someone who really understands. Please do check out the online services on my website at www.sendparentingbalance.com to book this service today. And as always, guys, please remember that this podcast is provided for education and entertainment purposes only. It's by no means a substitute for advice from a qualified therapist or counsellor. Remain kind to yourself today. I look forward to seeing you next time.